Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, October the 9th, 1983. May the Lord bless as we worship together around the precious Word of God on this beautiful Lord's Day.
Unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee this morning that thou hast visited us and thou hast supplied our needs, and we are grateful that we have a God who is so faithful with us and who is long-suffering and who will come to us in the time of need. We pray this morning, our Father, for all the sick and afflicted that we have on our prayer list here this morning and all the special requests. We just pray that thou would visit them at this time. And our Father, we pray for the revival. We just pray that, as the song said, may the revival start within us, and that it may be a light to this community and lost people may see Jesus through our Christian lives. Go with us now through the remainder of this service, and bless each one of us in thine own way. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, be thy the Son.
song. I will sing the wondrous story. Somebody wrote a song, I love to tell the story. Trust we will love to tell the story as we pray for people and visit them this week and invite them out to our special services. Before we look into the message today, we'd like to look at some people that need our prayers today and this week. There was a mother and a son in Sunday school this morning. I graduated with this lady's husband back in 10 or 12 years ago from high school. Oh, it's been 29 years ago, believe it or not. And this fellow's mother is in the hospital down here. They live in Loveland, Ohio. Well, this lady and her son that was in Sunday school, they live in Loveland. They are members of the same church my sister is up there. And Brother Bill Nichols used to be their pastor in Loveland, Ohio. And so Lily Wooten is in the hospital down here. And also his sister has surgery this Tuesday. Let's remember those two requests. And Ms. Lola Hoskins has to go back to her doctor, I believe, Tuesday. Today? Okay. Let's remember Ms. Lola Hoskins in prayer. Can't pray for Ms. Dorothy Hoskins. I know the Lord's continued to work in her life and well as in each one of our lives. You know, without the Lord working in us and through us and giving us added strength and courage and grace to keep on keeping on, it's sometimes where we'd be today without the Lord. I sure wouldn't be behind this desk. I want to stand today in God's shoes and give out God's message. I just wish I could hide behind this pulpit and let you see the Lord today. We also want to continue to pray for Brother Tom's mother and nephew, and also Anna Campbell. Kermit Combs and his wife are in Mississippi. Let's remember them as they travel back today. Continue to pray for Brother Flinch with Mom. The nursing home in Jackson. And also Janetta's mother, Mrs. Sizemore. She's certainly a blessing to all of us who know her, and God's certainly able to bless. We went by this week and visited a while with Herbert Haynes. Let's remember him in prayer. He certainly enjoys company, so pray for Brother Haynes, and if you can, stop by and see him this week. He had surgery for a broken hip and got a few broken ribs from a fall he had the other day. Let's remember Ms. Lane's nephew, Truby Kelly, and Brother Jerry's dad, Mitchell Fraley, Brother Combs' his wife over in the nursing home, and also Ms. Maude Barker over there in the nursing home. Continue to pray for Ms. Beck and Willie Davis. And we're glad that Matt came through surgery good this past Friday. Trust the Lord will continue to bless you, Matt. I don't know if you'll be able to get out there and butt heads on Napier's football team this year or not, but I hope you can. Don't have very many more games, do you? We're glad Matt came through surgery Friday. Thank the Lord for this. Let's look to the Lord again in a word of prayer. Father, we thank Thee for this beautiful day You've given each one of us. And thank Thee for all You've done for us, Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do lift up in prayer, Lord, today, Brother Hawkins Smith. And thank Thee for him and give him journey and mercies, Lord, as he travels to us this afternoon. We pray for each and every precious soul who will be here each night. Of these services, we know You're able to strengthen and speak, Lord, to each one of our hearts as we meet Sunday through Friday night with Brother Hawkins Smith around the Word of God. We thank Thee already for what You're going to accomplish. Father, may people who are dead in sin come alive and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. We pray for us who are saved that, Lord, You work in our hearts too. And help us to be more faithful to Thee, Father, and to Your work. We just thank Thee for all You're going to do. We pray for Ms. Hoskins as she goes back to her doctor today up in Ohio. We know You're able to strengthen and bless her and supply her needs, Lord. We also remember Ms. Dorothy Hoskins today. Continue to bless her and thank Thee that both of these Your ladies are with us in church today, Lord. We thank Thee for the message that You've given us, Father, for this hour, and help us to gain something from it, Lord, from having been here to fellowship around Your precious Word. Give us listening ears, Lord, and open hearts to hear what You'd have us to say. We thank Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Burns read some of my favorite scripture in the Bible in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus saw the multitudes. And today you and I need to see the multitudes that are lost on their way to hell without the Lord. He saw them as sheep having no shepherd. You know, sheep need a shepherd. And I'm glad we can say with David in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. We want to look today at three clues for real revival. Now, how much these meetings with Brother Hawkins Smith, Ms. Johnson's favorite son-in-law, is going to be preaching for us starting tonight? He's her only son-in-law. And he's her favorite, I'm sure. What happens during these six services is going to be wonderful, I'm sure. But you know, the real worth of special services is what's going to happen the week and the months that are to follow in our lives and lives of people who may come to know the Lord this week. We'll look at three clues for real revival. And we would like to turn to the sixth chapter of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Anything that's going to happen this week, as we said last Sunday night, anything that happens this week is going to be the Lord's doing. Anything of eternal value, the Lord is going to do it. As we depend upon His Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts. I trust our church will never be the same after this week. I trust you and I will never be the same. So God is going to do some things this week if we'll allow Him to. If we'll take our hands off our lives and let Him use each one of us, God is going to do some things that will have eternal value to them. I love the song that Brother Tom sings sometimes. Without Him I could do nothing. Without Him I surely would fail. Without Him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Today, without the Lord, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Can do nothing. None of us here today could have even gotten out of bed today without the Lord's help. Without His help. And thank the Lord today that we have Him to depend on. We must depend on the Holy Spirit to magnify Jesus through us. Where has love gone? I spoke on that a few months ago now. That was the title of one of the pages in the Daily Bread a few months ago. And there was a four-line poem, as there is on every page of the Daily Bread. It said this, O breath of God, Spirit divine, with holy love my soul entwine, burn anew, O heart's desire, keep my life for Thee on fire. the thought for that day was to let the fires of love for Christ die down is to court disaster. My friends, the fire of God needs to be burning brightly in every one of our lives. Our hearts need to be on fire for the Lord. John wrote the book of Revelation to 7 churches, and one of them, he said this about them: "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." I wonder, friends, do you and I love the Lord as much as we did the day we were saved, the year after we were saved? Do we love the Lord as much as we did then? Our key verse is going to be found over in John 4:35. Just keep your finger there in Isaiah 6. We'll get to that in a little bit. John 4:35, Jesus said, after talking to the woman at the well, He said, "To say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." I want to say this before we get into the first point. If more churches had their eyes on the lost around them, there would be less trouble inside them. I want to repeat that. Many churches having problems. And the Lord is not the author of confusion, but He is the author of peace. If more churches had their eyes on the lost around them, trying to win them to the Lord, there would be less trouble inside the churches. The first clue to real revival is we need to look up. In Isaiah chapter 6, it says in verse 1 that Isaiah saw the Lord. One king died, King Uzziah died. And Isaiah saw the Lord. An earthly king passed away, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was seen by Isaiah. He said, "I saw the Lord, sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple." Verse 1. Where is the Lord in our lives today? Is the Lord high and lifted up? How much do we love the Lord this morning? The psalmist said, "I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication." I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Where is the Lord today in our lives? In John 12:32, the Bible tells us this about Jesus. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." John 3:14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And Jesus was lifted up between heaven and earth. In the third verse of chapter 6 of Isaiah it says, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." There's a beautiful picture of what Isaiah saw in this sixth chapter. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8 and verse 11, it says, "So that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord." And my prayer is this week that the glory of the Lord is going to fill the house of the Lord. I trust every precious soul that marches through the doors of our church this week will feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in the service, in the singing. Isaiah saw the Lord. And you and I need to first of all look up.
and see the Lord as He really is. For real revival to take place in our church, we need three kinds of hearts. We need burning hearts, and burdened hearts, and broken hearts. My prayer is we'll have all three kinds of hearts, and our heart will be all three. We'll be burdened, we'll be burning, and we'll be broken. Isaiah saw the Lord lifted up. And you and I today need to see the Lord as we look up. As we look up. You know what? Isaiah, first of all, looked up. And he saw the Lord. And then the second clue, I believe, to real revival is he looked in. He looked in. Not only do we need to look up and see the Lord, but we need to look within our hearts and see ourselves as we really are. Isaiah 6:5, Isaiah said, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Did you know what? You and I will never see ourselves as we really are until we see the Lord as He really is. Let me repeat that. We will never see ourselves as we really are until we see the Lord as He really is. You know, so many times we compare ourselves to so-and-so down here on this earth. They say, if so-and-so is going to heaven, I don't have any problem. My friend, you and I need to, when we compare ourselves to someone, let's compare ourselves to Jesus. How do we match up with Him? Isaiah said, "Woe is me, I'm undone. I've had it." Isaiah did not see himself until he saw the Lord. And you and I today will never see ourselves as we really are until we see the Lord as He really is. My desire is that we'll see Jesus. Verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah 6, it tells us that they got a coal off the altar. You know, Isaiah said, "I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." I am a man of unclean lips, he said, first of all. And so they took a hot, burning coal off the altar and touched Isaiah's lips, and they said, "Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Did you know what? When David sinned, that awful sin, two or three awful sins there, and he told us about them as he came to the Lord in the book of Psalm, chapter 51, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He said, "I acknowledge my sin and my transgression is ever before me. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." And then he went on and said, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways." We not only today need to look up and see Jesus, the one who has done so much for us. We need to look in. You know, the problem is not with our neighbor. The problem is with us. We spoke the other Sunday on three enemies that we have: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I mention this, we are our own worst enemy. We have to live 24 hours a day inside this house. You have to live inside your house 24 hours a day. The problem is with us individually. We had the Lord's Supper the other Sunday night. We mentioned a verse in 1 Corinthians 11. It says, "If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Let's look in the mirror of God's Word. And I tell you, friends, we can see ourselves in God's Word. Ourselves. Isaiah saw himself because he saw the sinless Son of God. And he didn't compare too well with Jesus. The Bible tells us over in the book of Acts that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit. We need this. We need to glory save in nothing else than the cross of Jesus. Jesus Christ paid the full price for our redemption when he died on that tree. Our family name, our good works, our self-righteousness, they all drop away as empty before the blood-stained cross. Our pride is smashed, and we bow in humility before the one who had to die so that we could be forgiven. Enjoy eternal life through endless ages. A verse from the Daily Bread, or a paragraph rather from the Daily Bread. O cross of Christ, forever sweet, here I may fall at mercy's feet, a beggar, vile, and full of shame, and rise a prince in Jesus' name. We can do that. I tell you, a few years ago, I wasn't worth spitting on. I'm not worth much more than that now. Sometimes I feel, all of us preachers sometimes get under a juniper tree. But I tell you, one time I went to the Lord, and I was a beggar, vile and full of shame. And I rose a prince in Jesus' name. As I rode home that evening, that night, I was saved about 12 noon one day on a Thursday. Did I tell you that night as I rode home in the back of a truck, a 19-year-old outcast had come home. The stars never looked any brighter than they did that night. And I want to say it today, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The thought for the day and the daily bread for that day said, those who know God will be humble. Those who know themselves cannot be proud. You know what the middle letter of pride is? It's I. The middle letter of sin is I. I'd like for us today to look up, spiritually speaking, and see Jesus in all His purity. And then I want us, each one individually, to look within and see ourselves and see if we like what we see. Just think about yourself today, or right now anyway. But you know, that's not the only way we need to look. Not only look up, not only look in, but we need to look out. Isaiah was cleansed, and the Lord said to him, whom shall I send and who will go for us? What the verse that Brother Burns read for us a while ago. Jesus said, pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. I told you about Brother Roy Boatwright, who's going to be preaching for us this spring coming. He said a few years ago at the First Baptist Church in a Sunday school meeting, he used to be the Sunday school director for the state of Kentucky. He said this, the best place to get workers is on your knees. And every time I read Matthew 9:38, I believe it is, I think of that, what Brother Boatwright said. Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We need to look out and see a world that is lost on their way to a Christless eternity. One heartbeat from hell, you know that? A person today without the Lord is one heartbeat from a burning place. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? The call for workers has been sent out. Jesus said to lift up your eyes and look on the field. They're white, all ready to harvest. They're white. You know what? The devil is harvesting people right and left. The Lord wants us to harvest souls for him. He that wins souls is wise, the Bible tells us. You know what Isaiah said? The Lord said, whom shall I send? Isaiah has been cleansed. He's ready to tell the story. He's ready to sing of his Redeemer. He's ready because his sins are taken away. Then said I, here am I, send me. Isaiah chapter 6 and the last part of verse 8. Are we willing to say that? Here am I, Lord. I take my hands off my life. I want you to use me this week. In any way you want to use me, I'm available. Do we care for people out here in our Fort Gardens who are lost? How much do we care about our unsaved neighbors and friends and loved ones? One time there was a doctor on the mission field in a mission hospital. He gave medical treatment to 6 young prostitutes. We all know what a prostitute is. But you know, as he ministered to their physical needs, he invited them to church. And the members of the congregation could not see beyond their shameful reputation of these 6 girls. They gasped when they came into the service. They came, and they were scorned and ridiculed. And the church was in the process of beginning a whispering campaign. And there was soon a demand that such undesirables be kept out of the church. You know, action wasn't necessary. The girls never came back. How different life is on the other side of the coin. Many years ago, there was a man who had a heavy drinking habit. One morning, he came to church. He was unkempt. He was dirty. But you know what? During that service, a businessman and his wife went and sat down beside of this man who was a heavy drinker and invited them to dinner after church was over. And soon after this, he was genuinely converted. What's the difference in those 2 stories? One of them, there was love shown. How much do we love people? The title of the Sunday school lesson was The Motive, God's Love. God loves every person on every street in Airport Gardens. Doesn't matter who they are, what their last name is, how much education they've got. God loves them, and we need to love them. Isn't that right? I never will forget an old man who came to our church two or three Sunday nights for a handout. I saw that old man check into the nursing home the other day, still walking on crutches. Got one leg amputated now. We need to love people. How much do we love? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, Brother Combs said in our Sunday school lesson. That's what the Bible says. If we have love one to another. We need to shed some tears of compassion as we mention people in prayer that are lost, and love them. We're going to sing a song this morning for imitation, sort of geared maybe to Christians. Footsteps of Jesus. If you're here as a Christian and you need to make some type of decision, you may just want to come by and say, I'm going to support the revival this week. With God's help. God helping me, I'm going to do all I can to get some lost people here this week. As we stand to sing, if you're here and lost, if you're here and out of fellowship with the Lord, your love for the Lord is not what it has been. Whatever God says do, do it. Don't do it because I say to, because the Holy Spirit is impressing on you to do it. You may need to move your church later. Whatever God says, do. Do it as we stand to sing.
Of peace.
we were over in Israel 6 years ago or so. We went on the Via Dolorosa, which is the way of the cross, where Jesus went from Pilate's judgment hall up outside the city of Jerusalem and was crucified. It had different stops on that road to the cross. Here's where he fell beneath the load, and Simon the Cyrene had to take it and carry it on for him. I would not ask you to follow anyone except Jesus. If you follow him, everything else is going to be all right. If you follow the Lord, footsteps of Jesus, that last stanza talks about, then at last went on high, he sees us. Our journey done. Someday our journey is going to end. When I taught school at Big Creek Elementary, we had the word destination in our spelling book. And it said over in the back, the place where a journey ends. I tell you, when we got to Oregon that Sunday night about 10 o'clock, at Grandpa and Grandma Miller's home, I rejoiced. But I tell you, when we got back home, I rejoiced to our physical home down here after traveling over 6,000 miles. But my friend, someday we're going to be